Good morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how you doing?
Good. Glad I don't live in California and I'm trying to get Seahawk tickets.
Exactly. And with us, our in-house resident lending expert from Sterling, Mr. Tom Coyne, and massive Seahawk fan.
You know, I'm doing fantastic. Actually, we're going to get done with the show, head home, finish getting our stuff packed up, head to the game tomorrow.
You are?
Oh, that sounds better than the rest of my weekend.
It'll be fun.
But yeah. I will pretend happiness for you now.
All right, I appreciate that.
No, that is fantastic. It is it's fun. It's fun to really see the community kind of rally around that, and it's just been a great ride, and we're excited for a great day tomorrow.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to get up there.
Okay, well,
John,
I got your sympathy card picked out.
Oh, McKay, he's a holdout to the bitter end.
I can't wait to see him next week.
Yes, now next week's show, there's going to be a lot to talk about.
You think Shannon Sharp was a trash talker?
Okay, well, we are definitely in the midst of it. In fact, I used that. Kind of playing on that whole theme. We're having a big brokers open for other realtors in our community to tour some of our houses, and we're making it the Super Bowl broker open.
Ooh, I like it.
Get exposure for our listings, get other companies and other agents in there that deal with a lot of those buyers. Just one of the aspects and one of the events we like to organize sometimes for our sellers. To kind of bring some additional companies and traffic through the listing.
Yeah, that adds a lot of exposure, doesn't it?
It does, because a lot of those agents, I mean, when we look at the number, there's, 500 agents in the market, and all of those people at one time or another are dealing with a couple different buyers. Well, that really adds up quickly. So we like to get them through those listings and incentivize them. So you're going to have to stop by and see some of those houses yourself because you're dealing with those people, and we're going to have some great prizes to give away.
Well, can I win something?
You can win something. Yes, you can.
I'll be there.
I will get you the information. So we always like to start off with our crazy national housing story. It's always kind of interesting to see how pop culture and real estate collides. And I'm not sure the demographic of our listeners, how many are going to feel a connection with this. But if anybody out there does watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Tom, I know you've seen it as you're flipping through the channel. Khloe Kardashian, a big house and a big property that a lot of the show centers around, is on the market. So the youngest Kardashian sister there is in the process. Last month they announced that divorcing her kind of estranged husband, former NBA star Lamar Odom. And that property is listed, that's been on the show, it's in the show all the time, for $5.5 million. Obviously that's a life-changing event with a divorce like that, forcing the sale of a property. They purchased that property, 8,400 square feet.
Hmm, 8,400 really
square
not
feet.
That bad for.
And they bought that for $4 million in 2009 and then proceeded to do a complete remodel and makeover. So bringing it to now the estimated list price of $5.499 million. Mediterranean style home. And the pictures online, it is absolutely incredible, some of these properties that we see.
Doesn't really sound like they're trying to make too much profit, just cut the ties, huh?
Yeah, cut the ties. And, we find, I kind of take these celebrity real estate stories and I like to reference them back to local stories here. And it's not a lot different for a life-changing event like that, either a marriage or a divorce or a change in job. Those are the same type of events, no matter what price range you're in, that brings about the need for our services on the real estate side, and people then make those decisions to make those changes. So We're just dealing with a couple less zeros around here. So, same principles, just a little different comma and decimal point. So, but glad to help anybody in those type of situations with what they're looking at and what they're dealing. And I will tell you right now that the market is crazy. I mean, we go through these, you know, we go through these waves of business, and we talk about on the show, and that's why we really like to do the show weekly to kind of keep a pulse on the market, not statistic-wise, not data coming in from a month and a half ago or 2 months ago, but what's happening right now. And I always say it's kind of like my staff will say it's an old, you know, it's a Lance Kenmore experience saying, but I always say to them, be ready to hang on and work hard in January, because if, and here's the saying, if there's not snow and ice on the ground in January, our spring market starts a month and a half early. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, granted, we did, you know, 82% of our signs blew away last weekend, and the first part of last week. But other than the wind, if we take that 4 or 5 day craziness of 60, 70 mile an hour winds out of the picture, other than that wind, we have had an amazing January. Very nice days, no snow and ice. The weather's great. So what that does is that really brings out a quick start to the spring market. You have a lot of people making New Year's resolutions, doing their budgets, making their plans to make those big decisions that we talked about before Christmas. And now they're seeing that they're able to go out and execute on those. So a lot of people making major decisions for the year, no snow and ice on the ground, decent weather to be able to go out and look at properties, and that's what's happening. I didn't bring the exact number with me because I'm still trying to recover from all the negotiations and meetings. But when I take a step back and look, we're very close to, I think, in the last 6 days, over almost 10 contract sides, so 10 sales in 6 days. Well, that,
wow.
That tells me that the market is the early spring market. It is acting like a spring market right now. So one of the things that I wanted to go over for people maybe not quite ready is how you can be prepared for that spring market. And people always laugh. They're like, Lance, every year you do this show in January. And, well, that's why, because systems like this can happen, and if that rolls into a good February, light weather February, we're really looking at needing to be ready. And there's some things on this list that take a little bit of time to get done. I met with quite a few people before Christmas. We're listing their houses right now. It took them about a month to get through the process of doing this, and so I wrote down some things that you can do now to maximize your exterior curb appeal and your interior curb appeal. And one of the things that I wrote down, number one, that is really an easy one to do, and from talking to my tree guy, not a bad time of year to do it, is you can trim your hedges and trees and bushes and get all of those pruned up. One of the things that's nice is right now the tree guys are a little bit less busy. Maybe not right now because of the windstorm and a bunch of stuff, you know, that happened. If you saw the pictures this week in the paper and a couple trees down. But in general, when you look, January, I know I just had Ryan Hone from Top Tree out to my house, and he comes and he just trimmed up everything. I tell you what, it is, I'm not selling, but just to keep the maintenance going. It's incredible, and this time of year is a great time of year for them to go through, trim all the trees up. And, I mean, I noticed right away, like when you get home and you pull up, you're like, wow, I had no idea in 1 year's time that much extra growth and craziness had gotten on all of the trees.
So that tree looked that bad.
So it really, yeah, that it really did. And so this time of year is a great time. And that curb appeal, when you drive up and see that, you just get that feeling of, oh, you know what? This place is maintained really well. And so that is, I know there's some openings. I know Ryan specifically at Top Tree has some openings right now. If you need a good referral to that, please let me know. But it is a great time of year to get that stuff done. The next biggest item that we have on the exterior that we're always after and just makes a huge, huge difference now that the temperatures are back up above freezing a little bit, it's a time where you can take a look at some of this, is really inspecting the doors and the windows for peeling paint. These are the first areas on those trim around those windows and stuff that start to peel. And what happens is, number one is it's a lending requirement that appraisers are trained to look for. Peeling paint is a big thing, regardless the age of the house. That's an item that appraisers are trained to look for, with some loans more than others, but that they get used to just looking for that. So if they see that, it keys to them deferred maintenance, and it can also cause what's called a work order requirement, where you have to have that fixed before the appraisal can become finalized. So checking those windows and doors for that peeling paint is a great thing to do, an easy first step on the exterior. The third thing that I had down there that a lot of times people forget about in this time of year as we come into spring and a little more rain and precipitation is if you do have gutters in certain areas, sometimes in this area they're only installed generally over the front doors, and maybe we see them sometimes over the heating and air units to keep the water off of them. But make sure that those are cleaned out now and aligned. A lot of times we see those pulling off, maybe the ice or the snow from the roof had damaged them. Make sure those are fixed and aligned properly, because that's going to be something that people are looking at right when they walk up to the front of the house. The next biggest thing that I had on the list, and kind of fitting right after 3 days of 70-mile-an-hour wind, is the biggest thing that people pick out in the beginning is repair and replacing damaged roof shingles. I mean, we see it all the time. If we come up to a house and you pull up, you can kind of, that's one of the first things that's really noticeable. And there's still potentially going to be some weather left to come. So you want to stay on top of that and make sure the roof and those shingles are really fixed up, and so you're not having any leaks and you're not showing to the potential buyers that there's any deferred maintenance. And the next thing that we have that comes up quite a bit is repairing and repainting loose siding and caulking around the windows. You get a lot of that, that shrink this time of year where that's shrinked up. It's a great place for water to get in. And if it's especially at the front of a house where a buyer is going to be looking and spending a lot of time while they wait for the agent to find the key, that front initial siding, paint, and front door area is so important, because that's the first impression the clients are going to have of the house. And it makes a big difference when people are out looking. And so those are on the exterior of the house. Those are some of the biggest things that you can possibly do. Oh, I missed one. I forgot to talk, Tom, about this one.
Get it in there.
Okay, I'm going to get it in there. And this is the one where people always look at me strangely when I'm at the house telling them. And it is, if you have RV parking or extra storage in the backyard of your house, and where you park your RV behind your fence, or you have a boat back there, when your house is listed, you, if at all possible, and this is just one of those extra steps of how fast do I want to sell, when your house is listed, you need to arrange to have an alternate place to store those items. And I've had clients a lot of times where they'll come to me and they'll argue with me about this. They'll say, no, I want the RV parked there because it shows the people that I have RV parking. Well, what it is, and I do see that's a very logical statement, but one of the things that happens is, number one, it's not their RV that's parked there, so they can't visualize it as being their house. And number two, when you pull that RV out, and it's amazing because I've done it both ways, and you walk around with the buyer, and they see that huge open space, they're a lot more likely to say, oh, wow, there is tons of RV parking here. Look, that's right where I can put my RV. As opposed to an existing RV being there, they walk around and they look at that big space, which now with the RV there, and they're, gosh, the RV barely fits in here. You know, there's barely enough room. So the impression is of greatness and grandness and lots of space versus barely fitting or somebody else's being there. So a lot of times, and that's just one of the things that people don't think about is, you know, I need to talk to my friend Tom, who has an extra big lot, and see if I can park my RV at Tom's house for for a couple weeks when we get the house on the market. So arranging extra storage or a storage place to park those items is one of probably the next biggest things that you can do on the exterior of a house. So all of this takes a little bit of time, figuring out where it's going to go, moving it there, getting it to storage. If you're really thinking about a spring listing on the exterior of your house, those are the top items that you need to think about.
You know, and these are great items to just do yearly for anyone, even if you're not selling.
Yep.
So that if you're going to sell, say, next year, you have half the amount of work you need to do.
Yeah, and it really is. When you keep up on those trimmings and those annual tree trimmings and stuff, I mean, it just keeps everything, as I call, under control. So it's not as big of a job to do. When we come back, we're going to get some advice on lending. We're going to talk to Mr. Tom Coyne at Sterling. And then we're going to move inside the house a little bit and talk about some spring items and cleaning that we need to do inside the house to take advantage of this great weather and this amazing market that we're having right now.
We'll be right back here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about taking advantage of some mild weather that we're having, an early spring market, an active real estate market right now. Tom, help us out on the lending side. What do people need to know to be ready to actually purchase?
Well, Lance, with the show topic talking about preparing your home in this early spring market, I thought it would be a great idea to retouch on preparing and freshening your credit to be able to get the best mortgage possible when people are ready to get that next home. It should be no secret to anyone that the higher your credit scores are, the more favorable your loan terms will be. A lot of homeowners have the mindset that making payments on time automatically equates to good credit and good credit scores. This isn't always the case, though. Paying your bills on time does account for a large portion of your credit makeup. However, it only drives 1/3 of the points in your credit score. So that means a full 2/3 of your credit score has absolutely nothing to do with paying your bills on time. So I just want to talk about what I call the 5 steps to a credit makeover. Now, there's 5 main categories that go into this score calculation, and I'm just going to briefly touch on each one of them. The first category and the most important category is probably pretty self-explanatory, but it's payment history. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, Lance, that if you pay your bills on time, you're going to do well in this category, and your score is going to reflect that. Likewise, if you have a history of late payments, collections, charge-off, public records like judgments or bankruptcy, you're not going to do well in this category. In addition, the number of negative items on your credit report is important. So the more incidents or more derogatories you have, the more your score is going to suffer. And if you have more recent negative items, it's going to hurt your score more than negative items that were, say, 4 or 5 years ago. So as you get further away from those happening, your scores will improve. It just takes time to get away from it. The number 2 category, and it's a very close second, it is the most important non-payment category in your credit score, and it's by far one of the things that I go over often with my clients, and it's the amount of debt that you carry. So while installment debts like auto loans and mortgages are factored into your score, this really has to do more with credit cards. It's the first thing I look at if someone comes to me and they need to improve their credit scores, I look at their credit cards. This includes anything from Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express, maybe a gas card, retail source card, anything like that. The balance on your credit cards can affect your scores almost as much as whether or not you make your payments on time. So what this category looks at is the balance on your credit cards in relation to their limit. I always tell people, get below 30% as a starting point.
Right.
So if you have a $1,000 limit, keep your balance below 300. The lower you get, the better. Now, it may not always be possible to get there right away, but 50% of your limit is better than 60, and 40 is better than 50. So this stuff may take time, and that's why it's great to touch on it now as people are getting ready to purchase or sell a house in the next coming months, is none of these things happen overnight. So the sooner you can get your balances paid down on your credit cards, the better. It shows that you're using your credit wisely. You have more available, but you're choosing not to use it. It really helps your credit a lot. Now, the third category I want to touch on is the age of your credit. So don't confuse this like with your age, being, say, if you're 18 versus 40. It's talking about the age of your accounts. So basically, the score is looking to see if you have a lengthy history of managing your credit obligations. The age of your credit history is determined by the date you open the account, and the oldest account listed on your credit report. The older your credit report, the more points you'll have in this category. If you go and open a brand new account thinking it's going to help you get your loan in 2 months, it might actually hurt you because a new account can affect your credit score. But it also leads me to the next category, which is inquiries. If you just recently opened an account, that creditor had to pull your credit, which now placed an inquiry on your credit report. So not only did you get hurt because you have a brand new account, but you also have a recent inquiry. So that's the fourth category we're talking about.
Well, and that makes sense from the perspective of the banks and the credit scoring companies. If someone's been with somebody for 10 or 15 years with the same account, obviously that's probably a really stable individual. And so not having a lot of new accounts and having two or three existing ones that you've had forever just kind of lends the fact to, okay, here's somebody that has stability and is probably more likely to pay us back.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you see accounts that were opened in 1990, you know, and they've never had a late payment on it, because it'll show you in 10 years that they had a late payment. They've never had a late payment. They keep their balances low. The account's 10 years old. You can't get your scores any better than that.
Exactly.
So while I know it's tempting to get that 10% off at the, you know, the store when they offer you that credit card, know that it could have an impact on your credit scores. And the fifth and final category is your credit mix. What types of accounts do you have? You want to have a nice, diverse abundance of accounts. So let's say you have a mortgage and you have an auto loan and maybe you have two credit cards. The different types of accounts shows that you can manage all these well. The lack of them could affect your score negatively. Now, I don't want to say go out and get an auto loan if you don't need it. Certainly not. But this is the fifth category, so it's going to have the least amount of impact of any of them.
Good.
Just like inquiries, you know, not a whole lot of impact. So just as a quick recap is get your bills paid on time. You know, it's pretty self-explanatory. You're going to hurt your score if you don't. The second and probably the most important that I talk about more with anyone is keep the balances low on your credit cards. The lower the balance relation to the limit, the higher your scores will be. The third is how long have you had that credit? The longer you have accounts, the better. Some people say, well, I'm not using this card. I'm just going to cut it up and close the account. Well, why not just put that card in a drawer, act like it doesn't exist, and don't use it? That account still will build that history. The fourth, how often you apply for credit. And the fifth, a good mix of different accounts.
Good information, Tom. And we come across that a lot. And like you and I have talked, having people ready right now as we predict eventually this year, a rise in rates towards the end of this year, being ready now to purchase if you are going to make that move in the next 3, 4, 5 months is probably going to impact your financial well-being for years to come if you're getting in on these low mortgage rates.
Oh, it certainly does. And let's say you could do these five steps right now and you get a 0.25% lower interest rate in 3 months when you are ready to buy. Like you said, that mortgage is going to be around for a long, long time.
Yeah, and in fact, I mean, just thanks again, too, for answering your phone. It was two nights ago. I was at a hockey practice for my kids and sitting next to somebody, and he said to me, he's like, Lance, on a 15, do you think I can get, you know, 3.5? It doesn't seem, you know, it seems too good right now to be able to get that. And I was at 4.75 on a 30 before. And I said, well, I said, you know, rates change all the time, and without a lot of conditions in your credit score, I can't tell you exactly, but let me at least call and get the par rate. And so, gosh, this was like at 8:20 on Thursday night, and I text Tom, and I'm like, what's par with no discount points if your score is about 800? And you texted right back, and,
yep,
and I told the guy the number, and he's like, so it's not too good to be true. That's really a real deal. And
it's amazing.
And I said, absolutely. And so that's a great example of, you know, he was kind of shocked that was still possible, that there are still some scenarios where refinancing might be a possibility. And now I'm going to try to get that guy in so we can work with Tom to try to get that done. But that's a great example of you need to know the situation, you need to look at it, and there's still rates out there that a lot of people think might be too good to be true.
You know, and it maybe someone doesn't know what their credit looks like.
Right.
It's a good idea to call me. You can reach me at the office, 783-7300. Let's take a loan application for you. It doesn't cost you anything, and I'll tell you exactly where you sit today and what steps you could be taking to get ready for the future.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, we are appreciate that information greatly. We're going to talk a little bit more about some ways to prep your house for sale. But before we do that, some amazing properties that we have on the market, some great deals. My pick three, people that have prepped their house properly, ready to sell right now. Pick number one that we have out there is 5311 Blue Jay Court. This is a house out in West Richland. This is a very updated house, three-bedroom, two-bath Rambler, almost 1,700 square feet. Great Rambler floor plan, stainless steel appliances, tile floors, master suite, tons of living space with a living and a family room. This is on a quarter-acre lot in West Richland, and this seller just reduced their price to $179.9. So fantastic, larger Rambler out in West Richland, great location. Pick number two, we just picked this listing up. This is 1307 Scarlet Place, and this is in Richland. This is in Applewood Estates. It's a four-bedroom, three-bath Rambler, and I tell you what, it's a couple of years old, but it feels brand new, barely lived in. The owner traveled a lot for their job, so this house is about as close to brand new as I can get you in Applewood. You've got the new Yokes grocery store right across the street, new elementary school going in, detailed fireplace, amazing wood floors, a lot of crown molding and extra trim work done in this house. Master suite has a huge walk-in closet and big tiled shower. So once again, 2,500 square foot Rambler in Applewood on a quarter acre lot, $315,000.
Mm. Applewood's an awesome location, right there on Keene.
Right there off of Keene, right in that corridor of South Richland. So this is a fantastic opportunity at this place. And then pick number three that I've got here, 3628 South Date Street in Kennewick. And this home has a huge in-ground pool, and it's on just over three-quarters of an acre, 0.81. Amazing views, sits up on the hill with amazing views, four-bedroom, three-bath house, new heat pump, new carpet, huge windows in the bright living room, fireplace in the family room, tile floors in the kitchen, 2,500 square feet, so that's with the pool, with the land, with the view, priced at $250,000 for a quick sale. The reason the house is priced aggressively like that is because the sellers, they want to move up to another house that we found for them. And so they said, you know what, Lance, let's move the house, get it gone, get us to our next property. And so they've priced that house very aggressively, 3628 South Dade in Kennewick. Okay, we're talking about getting the house ready. What can you do to make sure the house is ready for the spring market? And it comes down to the number one time on the list every time is clearing out the clutter and cleaning. So getting rid of a lot of the extra clutter that people have, renting a storage unit, making those rooms look very big. There was a reason why you bought the house when you bought it, and generally it's because there was a lot of room for all of your stuff. Now, when you put all your stuff in there, it doesn't look like there's very much room anymore. And that's what happens to a lot of folks. But when it comes time to get it ready to sell, making those rooms look as big as possible and that spacious look is big. And the best scenario is to go to a storage unit. A lot of times people ask, can we just move everything to the garage? If the garage is just stacked full of boxes, can we just do that? Well, you know what? That's better than not doing anything. So we can go in stages here. But then what ends up happening is they feel that the garages look very small. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people, if they have a truck or they have, you know, a boat or some jet skis, they can't picture them in those garages when they're completely full. So yes, that's better, but then going to a storage unit or off-site completely is the next best step. So that was one of the biggest ones that we wrote down. Number two is hiring a professional cleaning service once every few weeks while the house is on the market. Buyers nowadays, especially in Tri-Cities, is we have an abundance of new construction available. So most buyers that we work with are generally balancing the decision of, do I just go brand new, but then I have a lot of expense with blinds and putting in landscaping and doing that. Do I just go brand new, or do I go to a resale house that has been lived in? Maybe the price is a little bit less or the same, but I get all those extras. Because they usually make that decision early on, it means that they've gone and looked at new construction. So now, regardless of all those other features and benefits, what are they comparing your resale house to?
Brand new house.
Brand new construction. Mm-hmm. That's what they've seen when they were trying to make that determination. So now the bar's been set, and the expectation goes with that new construction. And it's really hard to overcome that. The ones that do it the best, that overcome it the best, that are resale but look like new construction, those are the houses that sell the fastest and for the most amount of money. So that's just one tip there that you can have. If necessary, some repainting inside can help a lot. I mean, we all have seen too many HGTV shows, and the red and white striped candy cane wall, as it looks great with your theme and with the theme of the room, but that might not be the theme for the next person. So a lot of times painting some of those very striking colors or very bright colors that are very individualistic, a little bit of paint in some of those rooms will many times make a huge, huge difference.
Or if the paint is a neutral, kind of a solid color, you can go back and just kind of touch up the little spots. Helps, I'm sure, a lot, too.
It helps tremendously. So fixing that, handrails that are used frequently that get scratched up, moldings on the corners of houses that get the vacuum cleaner drugged by and beat up, it happens. It happens when someone's been in the house for a year and a half. And so doing those touch-ups, those little touch-ups, may make a big, big difference. And then the last thing that I wrote down that can make a big difference in a sale, and we're gonna let our home inspector talk about this a little bit more in a couple weeks and have somebody on to talk about this, but considering a pre-inspection, having somebody go through your house and just tear it apart prior to even listing.
Figuratively.
it can bring up some items that might need to be addressed, some things that need to be looked at, and it has somebody from an outside perspective that's not there every day give some tips and advice to make it better. So if you follow that list, that is a great way to have your house ready for the spring market. Like we said at the beginning of the show, it started early this year, and we never know year to year how Mother Nature is gonna help us out or slow us down a little bit this time of year. But right now, there's a lot of people out looking. It's a very active market. We're kind of starting off a little bit earlier, and I couldn't be happier. So I like to be busy. So that's here right now, and if we see this trend continue, these are some of the tips you're going to need. Also, just calling us out, giving you an evaluation, a rough estimate of some of these things to do. We'd love to be at people's houses giving this advice in real time and looking at those items. So, folks, if you're thinking about listing in the next couple weeks, next month, or the next couple months, give us a call. Visit kenmoreteam.com. And if you're trying to come up with an amount, a mortgage, for what your next purchase, Tom, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Give me a call at 783-7300 or go to my website, tomcoinehomeloans.com.
And we'll be right back here next week
on News Talk 870.